You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you. We've got two events this week, the Nordea Masters on the European Tour and the Memorial Tournament on the PGA Tour. And before we start talking about betting and last week's results, we've got to go with what has been dominating the press lines throughout the course of the last 24 hours, and it's the arrest of Tiger Woods, who's been charged with driving under the influence. We've all seen the mugshots on the Twitter, on Facebook, all over social media. Dave Tindall, sad to see, really, Tiger Woods in this state.
Yeah, I mean, I don't suppose too many mugshots look very good, but he looks dreadful, doesn't he, in that? And, I don't know, it's just more bad Tiger news, isn't it?
It is, and it's such a shame, Mike, because when I was growing up, obviously, Tiger Woods was a hero of mine, and he was the one that was, I suppose, he was the one that got me involved in the game, Tiger Woods, and I liked seeing him. He was a true winner, and he revolutionised the sport to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah, well, he did, but we don't really know what the whole story is yet, do we, Dave? It's only Tuesday here in the UK. He said it's not alcohol, hasn't he? Whether
yeah.
That's true or not. You know, he doesn't look great in the picture, but it's not necessarily the end of him, is it? It's just not a particularly savoury story, but worrying if you're a Tiger fan. But I think we need to know more, don't we, before we can totally judge it.
Yeah, I agree. Last week's events, Alex Noren, one of the most spectacular final rounds ever on the European Tour, shooting a 62, came from 8 back to win by two in the end. And
Who tipped him?
Yeah, I went for the podcast, which was nice last week. But it was a great round, wasn't it?
Fantastic round. I presume you'd given that one up as dead.
Yeah, it was gone, wasn't it, yeah. Really?
20 to 1, was he?
Yeah, and 100 to 1 going into the final round. Yeah.
So that's 7 back going into the last round. But I think because there were so many players in front of him, sometimes you can be 7 back and there's only 3 in front of you. But he was, you know, couldn't see that at all, but fantastic. And I think when he made that leap to 11 under and got 2 clear, it was like too much of a hammer blow. Everyone thought, oh, he's suddenly 2 clear. Mm. We can handle 1, but 2 was a fantastic achievement. And yeah, he just doesn't stop winning, does he? That's 5 wins in since July, is it, last year? I think it made a bit of sense because he's gone over to America, honed his game there a little bit, learned how to play well in America, and then he's come back here and he sort of finds it all very easy and major next, maybe?
Perhaps. It could be on the horizon, Mike. And I think that just being first in strokes getting tee to green, as I mentioned on the podcast last week at Sawgrass, that was an indicator of where his game was at going into Wentworth.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player and he's starting to play well in America, as Dave just said. We've known how good he is in Europe for the last year or so. If I was the agent of any of the players who were at the top of the leaderboard though on Sunday, I'd be a little frustrated by their performance. Mm. He shouldn't really have won from that far.
A collective sort of mess up, wasn't it, by everybody?
None of them went forward, did they, really? So he did brilliantly, but they'll be kicking themselves, some of them won't. They've got to be without some of the play that they showed.
Yeah, that back nine, when he'd posted 11 under, they all fell by the wayside quickly.
Yeah. Fair play to him for doing it, but...
Do you think Brandon Grace was possibly... People were thinking, well, I hope he doesn't win after that.
Dave was particularly unhappy with that, weren't you, Dave?
It looked weird to me. I only saw it... I didn't see it with the commentary on, but there's... I know the rules are written there in black and white, but there's taking advantage of the unwritten rule that you shouldn't gain an advantage. When no other player... Maybe not another player. He's done it, though, the second time he's done it. Did it in China as well.
So he knew he could do it.
He knew he could do it, and I don't think any other player in that circumstance would have even asked for a free drop. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the way I read the situation.
Yeah,
anyway.
Me too. And yeah. I know some of these fellow pros are very unhappy with it.
Yeah.
They?
Yeah.
I don't think it does you... It's not worth a shot, is it, having that kind of reputation?
No, I think you're right.
Unless it's just a sign that he's absolutely got this head, you know, he will do anything to win mentality.
Yeah, golf's not that kind of game, though, is it? It just isn't, Dave, is it? It's a game of honour. If you don't play it that way, then you're in a very bad place.
Mm. What did you make to Kevin Kisner's winning Colonial, Mike? I mean, he made that move around the turn and he had Jordan Spieth and John Rahm, two of the most exciting players in the game, chasing him. Made a slight mistake on 16, but held on well to win.
Yeah, no, he did brilliantly, didn't he? He's a good player, and he had good form going in there. And it was a slight wobble on 16, wasn't it? But he played the last two holes well and saw off a very, very good field of chasers, really, I thought.
Let's get stuck into this week then. Two good events this week. We'll start with the Nordea Masters on the European Tour, and Henrik Stenson is the 5-1 favourite. Alex Noren in the betting at 7-1. Lee Westwood is 16s. Matthew Fitzpatrick 20-1. Alexander Levy and Chris Wood and Pablo Larrazabal all 25s, and it's a 33-1 and bigger the rest. And the players return to Barsbäck for the Nordea Masters this week. The course has hosted the event 9 times before, and we've had some pretty high-class winners at the venue as well. And Nick Faldo won it when it was hosted here back in 1992. Jesper Parnevik, Luke Donald, Adam Scott have all won the championship on this golf course. And Colin Montgomery won a couple of times at the track as well. It plays to a par of 73, 4 par 5s, 3 par 3s. And whereas parts of the course are tree-lined, there is room off the tee on the back nine in particular. And I suppose, Dave, the scoring will depend on the weather. Not an easy test, but if the wind blows, it gets even more difficult. It's forecast at this moment in time, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, to be pretty benign, so we'd expect scoring to be quite low.
Yeah, I think the last two winners there were 10 under, but Luke Donald won it was 16 under. I think it might get nearer to that, given the forecast. And it's good field as well, some good names in it. Obviously got the two big Swedes at the front of the market. And then got likes of Westwood has won this tournament 3 times before, defending champion Fitzpatrick. Levy's in good form, Wood. Obviously, Larrazabal's in good form, so I think it'd be a good event.
Do you see it as a Lynx test, this one, Mike? Because I've seen a lot of talk about Lynx players being suited by the golf course. You've got, when this tournament has been hosted by Barsbäck, you've seen a lot of good Lynx players to the fore. But it doesn't look like a traditional Lynx course.
No, I don't. I don't see it as a Lynx course, but it seems to play those type of players seem to play well here, don't they? So it's 8 years since it was here, isn't it? So I have to be honest and say I can't really visualise the course that well at all. So I've not had a bet before the tournament because I just want to see how it plays, because there is some, you know, that's that question alone is quite an interesting one. Why does it suit Lynx players when it's not Lynx?
Yeah, although they are sort of just good players, aren't they? Like Monty and Luke Donald and Faldo.
Yeah,
that's true. I've actually got a couple of selections for the event.
Yeah, I have as well, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
You go first, you're the man in form.
Okay, I'll go with Torbjørn Olesen as my first pick at 40-1. Scandinavians obviously have an excellent record in this event down the years, and I thought 40s was a decent price. He's a bit of an enigma, given his lack of consistency, Torbjørn Olesen. And his stroke play wins have come out of nowhere on occasion, so I wouldn't worry that much about the miscut of the BMW PGA Championship. Wentworth has never been a course that has really suited Torbjørn Olesen, but he did close with an inward 9 of 33 on Friday, despite missing the cut. And this course clearly suits him. He finished fourth in his first ever European Tour start here back in 2009. And given he's a recent winner with proven closing class, I thought 40s was fair enough on a course that he should feel at home on. And he's won 4 times on the tour now, including once in each of the last 3 years, and of course won the Golf Sixers event recently as well.
Yes, it's the location as well. It's southern Sweden, so it is really near to the Danish border so they can come over. So make them sound like Vikings, don't they? They can come over and cheer him on. But it's a very, very well-supported event. I think they're expected to get about 100,000 through the gate, which is massive, isn't it? They do come out in force, so there will be lots of Danes there cheering him on. And as you say, it seemed to work for him last time.
So fingers crossed for Olsson at 40s. Who's your first pick?
Well, I'll start with a home Swedish player. There's been loads of good Swedish performances. You look through the records and all the Swedes you kind of hope that might be there, Parnevik's won it, and then Norrin himself has won this event I think twice in the last 5 years. Stenson hasn't, but he's lots of near finishes. Robert Carlsen, I think, lost a playoff at this course before.
Yeah.
So lots of good Swedish players. So the one I'm going for is Alexander Bjork.
I'm going for him.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, as my second pick.
Right, okay. 80-1. So the Swedish thing, I think Swedes always play. I know this is really bizarre evidence, but look at 1958 World Cup final. They've Sweden got to the final on home soil. The 1992 Euros, Brolin, they got to the semi-finals. I just think Swedes really do respond well to their home crowds. Remember, was it Marcus Kinnelt? I think the amateur, he was leading this maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
He was an amateur at halfway, another local Swede. Just think Swedes will really do well. And I've been trying my best to find... I found Alexander Bjork's Instagram page.
Yep.
He did have some good Wentworth stuff on there, but I was hoping he'd say, like, I've played this course since I was a small boy, but I couldn't find any of that. So you're going off basically lots of good form from him. And maybe the one that got me over the line with him, I was looking at all the Swedes, but was that 14th at Wentworth on Sunday, which I'm sure you've noted.
Yeah.
Closing round 60... final round 66, that built on 7th in South Africa, 5th at Tshwane, 6 top 20s this season. And I think this course, I think, is a course, if you look back at some of the stats, let's not talk about the European Tour and stats, although I've got some news about that. Looking back at the stats, which they did have historically, it seemed to be short game. Prowess was good here, good scramblers, good putters. Now, he's been ranked 3rd in scrambling in his last two tournaments.
Yep.
So I think you put it all together, I think he's a good 80-1 shot. Have you any other nuggets?
Yeah, well, one more. After his win in France on the Challenge Tour last season, he actually spoke about the inspiration he took from Henrik Stenson, who had won the Open Championship the week before. So I think the fact that Norrin has just come through the field to win the BMW PGA Championship is something definitely to note here, with a Swede winning the week before and Bjork going in and maybe finding that little bit more inspiration. But I think even without that, it'd be worth chanting in front of his home fans, given the form lines that you've just suggested there at 80-1. But I thought that was definitely worth mentioning, how much inspiration he took from Stenson winning the Open Championship. That gave him his win on the Challenge Tour the week after last season.
Yeah, very good.
Your second pick?
Yeah, my second pick is, again, looking a bit further down the market, 50-1, George Coetzee.
Okay.
Lots and lots of good form. I think, like you referred to as Olsson, he did miss the cut at Wentworth, but you look at his Wentworth form, he never does anything there. So I do the same with Sawgrass form. Just, you know, it's a bit Marmite, isn't it? You're either good there or rubbish there. And Coetzee's never really got on with Wentworth, so I'm ignoring that. And then you look further back, and his last four results were 8th, 8th, 11th, 8th. And that 11th could have been a win. It was in China where he took a quadruple bogey on the final hole. A birdie would have got him in the playoff. So he's right there for me in terms of form. He's another who's got the short game prowess I think you need here. A really good putter, can get that really rolling his ball really well on the greens. Good short game. I just think 50-1 is... I just think he's a bit under the radar, and I think 50-1 Coetzee, who can win at this level, is a big price. I think any sort of good performance last week, you could have had him at 33, so I think 50-1 is a price that stood out for me.
Mike, you're keeping your powder dry as far as this tournament's concerned. Were there any that caught your eye that you'll be looking to maybe play in running if they start well?
No, not really. I do think the two favourites are strong, aren't they, on home territory. Stenson is his home club, isn't it? And Norrin kind of had a win without any of the stress of being in contention.
That's a good point now, because it wasn't under the gun at all, was he?
So he's kind of, it's like almost like a free win, isn't it, without any of the pressure to get over. and he's just playing ever so well. So those two will be, but the market's found them obviously at 5 and 7 to 1. You're not going to get that rich backing them both, but they were closest.
Do you think Norrin's a slightly better bet at sevens and Stenson at fives?
Well, it's Stenson's course, isn't
it? Maybe
it's from there, you know. So yeah,
I would have made Norrin favourite this week personally. Yeah, I understand the reservation about him winning and then not performing, but I think Mike's point that he's made there about winning without any of the pressure is a big one. Mm. I think he will be freewheeling this week, and let's face it, he's playing the best golf of anyone in the field at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Oh God, yeah, by a long way, yeah.
Yeah, so I would have known as a slight favourite this week over Stenson.
If you read Stenson's quotes from last week, he didn't think he played very well at all. His long game, he said, was off.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tied third.
I was
going to
say, didn't he
bad.
Finish third, didn't he? So yeah. There's not a lot between them, but Norrin's just on a really good run, isn't he? Mm. But they look very strong. They'll be desperate to win as well, both of them, given where the tournament is. So
they will. Those two head the market with Henrik Stenson at 5-1, Alex Norrin 7-1. Let's talk about the Memorial Tournament, where Dustin Johnson is the 6-1 favourite. John Rahm 12-1. Jordan Spieth is 12-1. Jason Day 14s, Hideki Matsuyama is 16-1, Adam Scott is 20s, Ricky Fowler 25s, Matt Kuchar is 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And once again, it's a return to Dublin, Ohio and Muirfield Village for the Memorial, one of a host of high-quality events on the tour in the lead-up to the US Open in a fortnight's time. The golf course is designed in Jack Nicklaus's image, so he's undoubtedly a second-shot golf course, and it measures 7,392 yards and plays to a par of 72. And rather surprisingly, the last three winners, Willie McGirt, David Lingmuth, and Hideki Matsuyama, were winning on the PGA Tour for the first time, because this is a venue, Mike, that historically takes some getting used to. The green complexes are quite tricky. Players talk about missing in the right spot. So are there any specific stats you're looking at this week, Mike, in the lead up to this event?
Well, I know, Dave, you're keen on course experience here, aren't you? And I know some players have got multiple wins here in the past, haven't they? So I guess there is something in that. I was probably looking at, as you've said, it's a second shot course, so I was probably looking at shots tee to green as being the most relevant stat. I think scrambling is also very important here as well, because the greens are fairly complex. They'd be the main ones for me. I don't think driving distance is that important. But some years accuracy seems to work, but not always. But I just think if you pick anything off the tee, keeping out of the rough would be more important than walloping it a long way, I think.
One of your favourites has got a great record here as well, Matt Kuchar, 28-1.
Fantastic record.
Unbelievable record here, hasn't he, really?
He has. He's got a second and 7 top 15s in his last 9 visits here, Dave. I very nearly picked him, actually, but he's just... I'm not too sure Matt isn't slightly going on the downgrade, and I'm not sure whether he's going to win that much anymore. He's 28-1 this week, which is short enough. I'd expect him to play really well and to be there or thereabouts, because he's in good nick with a couple of good recent outings. I'm not sure, certainly a win, and at 28, you want to have someone who's...
got a good chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Dave, what are you looking at this week in terms of... stats, anything relevant, any course correlations, anything like that?
Yeah, course correlations, you'd say Augusta. I mean, Jack Nicklaus won 6 times there. There's some obvious nods. The fairways are quite generous, and it's come up the word second shot course. So I'd be looking at strokes gained approach to the green. The greens as well, they're again mirroring Augusta National. They are probably the fastest outside of the Masters. So guys who put well on super fast greens, I'll be looking at those as well. A lot of long par fours on this course, which again, a correlating course would be Firestone for the WGC Bridgestone. So those are a few little ways in, I think.
I've got just the one pick here, Mike.
How about two?
Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, just one.
Okay, Mike.
Shall I go first? Yep. I'm going for Benny Ann as my first tip. He played here for the first time last year, and he was 11th. So a very good start. He hasn't got a lot of course experience, obviously, but the one time he has been here, he played very well. Quite an eye-catching performance. He's in good form at the moment. Was 24th over here in Europe at the weekend in the BMW. I don't think the travelling will have dented him too much, so I'm happy enough to hope that he can build on an eighth in the Wells Fargo and a fifth in the Byron Nelson on his last two US outings. Building up a nice kind of portfolio of top tens in America now, with Phoenix and Zurich in the past also featuring that kind of high finishes for him. On the PGA Tour, he's playing very well off the tee. His strokes gained approaching the green stats are very good, as are his strokes tee to green. He's in top 20 and top 30 respectively for those two. I like his chance at 52-1. I think he's a very good player, and he's beginning to really mix it with the best. So at 50s, I think he's a good each way bet.
Benny Arn, 50-1 is Mike's first selection for the Memorial. Dave?
Yeah, hopefully the price is still there. You're going to have to scroll down, okay, which means we go past 80s to, yeah, he's there at 100-1. Ryan Moore.
Yeah.
I've always got him down as someone to follow on any course with fast greens. He's always said that, you read his quotes. Proved that at Augusta National this year when he had a chance to win, didn't he? But didn't get it going in the final round. So you'd think this course would suit him. And if you look at his record, he's got three top 20s in the last 4 years. So good recent form there. He's got a second in 07, 10th 08, 5th 2010. Loads and loads of good form at this course. Perhaps another correlating course might be Eastlake, where he ran Rory McIlroy right to the limit there at the end of last year. He's not got a brilliant sort of bunch of figures this year in terms of finishes. But I just think he's crept out to a price there that is surprisingly big given all his course form and the fact that he was contending at Augusta, only a month or so ago. 32nd in strokes gained approaching the green, so that's a strong part of his game. Yeah, and I do like players on certain courses. Kevin Kisner last week, 5th and 10th, wasn't he, at that course? And I read his quotes afterwards. He said he loves a strategic test. So put that in your sort of in your notebook. Kevin Kisner on strategic courses, forget it on long courses.
Yep.
And Ryan Moore clearly loves this test, likes this part of the world, putting on these fast bent grass greens. And I just think 100-1 is a lot. I guessed, when you sort of guess your price, I was thinking, I was searching from around 66s, and then I thought, maybe he's not playing. So to see him at hundreds, clearly I think that's value.
Ryan Moore then, Dave's first and only selection in the event. 100-1, good price on Ryan Moore. I'm going towards the, not towards the top of the market, I'm going right towards the top of the market with Jordan Spieth at 12-1, going hopefully he'll at least place again this week, having played well last week. And I know it's difficult to argue that you're getting the same kind of value this week as you were last, given that it's a stronger field and he's the same price, but I still think he's got a very solid each-way chance. And if anything, it's weird, I think Muirfield Village should suit Spieth more than Colonial does, given that the fairways are so wide at Muirfield Village and Colonial's a lot tighter as a golf course. I just think the setup is absolutely perfect for him. You look at the key stats, and Spieth shows at the top of all of them, in my opinion. He ranks 4th in greens in regulation, 2nd in birdie average, 2nd in strokes gained approach to the green, and 1st in proximity to the hole as well this season. Those are the keys to success around this golf course. And in addition to that, his putting was back to almost its absolute best last week. He ranked 7th in strokes gained putting, and he was back to threatening from distance. You know, when he's putting from 25 to 30 feet and they look like they're going to go in, that's what was happening again last week. And I just anticipate a big week as Spieth looks to build towards the US Open. I think he's got a solid chance, and I'm going to point each way on Jordan Spieth as my solitary selection in the event.
Very good.
So there you go. Hopefully he'll be able to go one better than last week.
I did read that he said it himself, so maybe he's a stats keeper, but he said for the last 45 holes or something, he was 5 better than anyone else last week.
Yeah, he definitely got the rough end of the draw last week. You look at that draw at Colonial last week, I think only 8 of the top 30 players were morning, afternoon starters, and he was the only one that, I think 2 finished inside the top 10 that had the draw Spieth had. So I did get the rough end last week.
So an afternoon start on the first day was preferable, was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the afternoon starters, wasn't it, on the first day? And I know that he got the rough end definitely last week. He did talk about it in detail as well, because he does keep track, as Dave said, he keeps track of those things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. I'm going for his pal. I'm going for Justin Thomas as my second pick in this event. There's a little bit of speculation about it because he's played here three times and not particularly done brilliant. He had a top 40 the first time he played here, then he's missed the last two cuts when he's played here. But this track really should suit Thomas. He's very good tee to green player. He's eighth on that start this year, strokes gained tee to green. He's 11th on the strokes approaching the green start. I just think the tee, it looks like this is a course that could really suit him. Now, he was in ever such good form earlier in the year, showing signs again. Didn't play Sawgrass very well, but it's showing signs of being coming back to some sort of form. He was fifth in the Zurich in that pairs event and fifth in Mexico a few events before that. He's 42-1 is probably the thing that drags me in here. Here's a guy that's become a multiple winner on the tour. He's young, should be suited by the course. And I just have a feeling that this might be the year that he starts to play this Memorial event better than he has before. 40s, for me, if he was 20s, I wouldn't even be looking at him. But 40s just looks a big price for a player of his quality on a track that really... I'm really confused as to why his form figures are not better here. But I've also noticed that I only looked at one event, but the first one I looked at was a Sony as an event that he won. I think he missed the cut the previous year there, so maybe it's not a big issue with Thomas. He's improving and he's becoming one of the big guns on tour, isn't he? And let's see if he can show it this week at 40s.
Yeah, I do like that at 40s, especially when people were clambering over other people to get 25, 28 to 1 at Sawgrass.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a better field. I can see that at 40s.
Yeah, you would never have guessed in a million years that he could be this price when he was winning back-to-back in Hawaii.
It's a slight overreaction, doesn't it? Yeah. His course form's not fantastic, but he's playing a bit better than Sawgrass. So
there is some funny course form. Like Fowler, I do like Fowler. He's 25s with us. He's missed his last three cuts, but he was second on debut, Fowler, at this score. I think maybe if you're just a bit off, it can go wrong, but...
I absolutely endorse that, Dave. I think it's a course where players do, if they're in good form and their games bang on it, that they can get good form. Figure then the next 2 years they miss the cut. It is a bit like that, isn't it? So you see someone like Bubba Watson finished 30 a couple of years ago. Doesn't normally play that well here, but if his game's on, he'll be all right. So yeah, I thought 40s was a reasonable price for Thomas.
What did you think to... obviously, I've gone with Jordan Spieth, the other two market leaders, Dustin Johnson 6-1 with John Rahm at 12-1. John Rahm, I don't think we're ever going to see bigger than 12-1 again, to be honest, the way he's playing the game at the moment, Mike. I mean...
He can't continue playing that well, can he?
I don't know, but he was just absolutely... I thought he was sensational on Sunday last week. I know Kevin Kisner won.
Yeah.
But the amount of times he hit it inside 15 feet on a golf course that he's never played before, which... You think about John Rahm around Colonial, you think there must be 25 other golf courses that suit him better than Colonial, and he just striped it. I thought that shot on 16 was unbelievable, the one that he cut around the trees, and it was an amazing golf shot.
He's just a great player, isn't he? I do suspect that he will have little dips, though, because he's quite temperamental, isn't he? And he does have blow-up rounds here or there, but he's an amazing talent for his age, and I don't think he will see much bigger than 12s regularly, but I wouldn't be backing him this week.
Mm. Do you prefer Spieth this week? I know last week...
I preferred Rahm. Yeah. Where did Rahm finish?
They both finished next to each other.
They were the next same score. Yeah. Same score, I thought they were. That's a good question. Johnson, obviously, at 6-1, he's playing ever so well as well, isn't he? I think I'd be with you in Spieth this week, funnily enough, good. Of those three.
Good, I'm glad about that.
I'd be Rahm.
Would you? Yeah. I can see him playing well as well. I was tempted to have both of them running for me this week.
I was very close just to putting a point on Rahm. I don't think I've ever bet on him. I've never quite
pulled the
trigger. He kind of got away from me before. The bigger prices have now gone. I mean, like you say, when is he ever not going to be 12s?
Yeah,
I really like him, but he's not winning as much maybe as people think he is. Is he?
Just
to play devil's advocate.
If you just look at his bare numbers. He doesn't come eighth or ninth. He gets in the top five. So the last 10 events, I think he's got a win and five top five. So he's paying out your each way money all 60% of the time. So I think you can back him at 12s each way.
Yeah. I much prefer Rahm and Spieth to Dustin Johnson this week, personally. At those two both double the price. I've gone into why I like Spieth and I do like Rahm as well.
Why don't you like DJ then?
I just get the feeling
third last year.
Yeah, I just get the feeling he's maybe cooling off and he'll look to come to the boil in a couple of weeks' time for that US Open challenge. I think his mind might... you never know where Dustin Johnson's mind is, but his mind might be already focused on defending his US Open crown in a couple of weeks. You never know. That's my only reason.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wasn't really that close to him this week. Sometimes I look at him at 6-1 and think, yeah, I'll have some of that, but not this week. I think he's got just 2 top fives in 9 attempts. Maybe not quite one of his list of favourite courses, really.
Yeah. Who else? Who else was on the list then, Mike?
Matt Kuchar, who we mentioned, who should go well, but just the price doesn't catch the eye that much. Who else? Adam Scott should play well here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but he's hitting the ball as he has done for some time, ball striking ever so well. But again, 20-1 again, does he win often enough these days? I'm not so sure. But I'll be surprised if he's not there or thereabouts. Tony Finau, I liked, but 40-1, he's been backed, I think. He's the same price as Thomas, and I'm going to give Thomas a go there rather than Finau.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
I think Gary Woodland could play well here, Dave. I know he's had some, you know, very serious off-the-course news lately, but he's a course he plays well, and maybe he's, you know, back to business here. You'd have to have a bit of a watching brief on him, to be fair. Mm. And maybe as a longer shot... Shane Lowry, in fact, he's only 66, as I say, along the show. He's actually not quite as big as price as I thought he was, but he played ever so well at the weekend, didn't he? So a bit of a return to form for him, I thought.
You'd think he'd get one at Wentworth eventually, wouldn't you, with his with bank of figures there? Yeah.
And Lowry won the Bridgestone in Ohio, same state as
Yes, good point.
I looked at Patrick Cantlay. He's been well backed. I think he's a winner in waiting, but he's 50-1, so the price put me off Cantlay. So just the one pick for me. He's the only other one I want to mention here. Dave, have you got any more?
I think we mentioned him. Scott, I mentioned Fowler before.
Yeah.
I think he will turn it round. The other one I looked at was Griot. I think he did well last year, and he's close, I think, to having a really big week. But maybe I'd want a bit more than 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's playing very solid, isn't he, Dave? I looked at him as well. He was 11th last year, same place as Benny Ahn, so he was on my mind a lot. I know Stuart Sink is used to play great here, and he's showing a little bit of form again. I'm not suggesting that you back him to win, but top 20 maybe, top 10, I don't know. He just seems to have rediscovered some vim and vigour about his game.
One other one. Have you ever seen Phil Mickelson at 66-1 for a regular tour event?
It is a big price.
Because he's got the form on these correlating courses we mentioned, obviously a 3-time Masters winner. The fast green's there. He's won at Firestone. And he's got a couple of top fives at this course. I just think he can't get much bigger. I can't believe his winning days are done. He will win.
Can't you? I'm just slightly worrying that they have. I hope they haven't. But it's a while since he's won, isn't it?
It's 2013 Open, isn't it? Which is getting a bit silly. But
it's virtually 4 years.
I think he's played enough good golf to suggest it'll go his way 1 week.
Yeah. Hopefully it's in a couple of weeks' time.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if he won the US Open? I'd be so happy for him,
He might go off. He might go off a similar price for the US Open, though, the way...
No, he won't.
Don't you think?
No. Well, we've got US Open prices.
Yeah, I know, but these are prices that are put out and then... They're not. They're not prices you'll see come game day. Are they his 40s at the moment? I think he could easily go off. If he doesn't show anything this week, he'll go off at 66-1 for the US Open. I think
possibly. Yeah.
Be interesting anyway. Hopefully,
let's worry about that one. Let's get the winner this week.
As you mentioned, Mike, it would be nice to see that.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, let's recap the selections just before we leave the listeners. Dave, your picks.
Yeah, so in the Nordea Masters in Sweden, I will have half a point each way on local guy Alexander Bjork at 80s. And then also I'll go a point each way George Kurtse at 50s.
I'm going a point each way Torbjörn Olesen at 40s and a point each way Alexander Bjork at 80s as my two selections. And Mike in America?
Point win, half a point place on both of these. Benny Ahn at 50s and Justin Thomas at 40s.
And I'm going 1 point each way Jordan Spieth at 12-1. Is my sole selection.
I will go a point each way, because I do like him. A point each way, Ryan Moore at 100-1.
Okay. We've mentioned about half the field in America. Who's the player you don't want to win this week if you had just one?
Matt Kuchar.
You know what? I'd probably go John Rahm, because I nearly split my stakes between between both of them this week, both at 12. So I'll go John Rahm.
Well, you can have Rahm then. I will go then Adam Scott. I think his price is just enough to put me off there at 20s.
Very good. Thank you, chaps. People won't know at this point how many times I've had to edit this podcast, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Last week we had none. This week we've had 42 edits.
We have. I'll still be...
Took us 3 hours to record this.
If this doesn't go out until 1 a.m, you know why.
People, crowds outside were shouting, one take, you guys.
Thank you, Dave, for your company.
Thank you very much.
Remember to follow us all on Twitter, at M Grennan for Mike, at D Kellner for myself, at Dave Tindall Golf for Dave. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website for the Nordea Masters and the Memorial Tournament. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.